sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Hallelujah. Amen. You glad to be in church tonight? I'd like to welcome everyone to service tonight and all of our guests and our visitors. We have a special guest. Brother Louis Blevins is here. Amen. We're going to be remembering him in prayer, and he's still not up to 100%, but I trust the Lord that maybe in the morning he'll be back in the saddle. Amen. Let's all stand together. Why don't you take just a moment there and greet your neighbor, those around you. Go ahead, Brother Harry. Let's sing it.
In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe born from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Calvary.
Everybody now.
That man from Galilee. Oh, he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The publican went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me." He was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace came within. He said, "Come see this man from Galilee." Oh, I love that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The lame was made to walk. The dumb was made to talk. That power was spoken in love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. I know it can only be the mercy of that man from Galilee. That man from Galilee, he's done so very much for me. He forgave me all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The woman at the well, he all her sins did tell. How five husbands she had at that time. She was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace came within. She cried, "Come see this man from Galilee." Oh, I love that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. One more time. Oh, I love. forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. You can have your seat, and we'll have Brother Jimmy come. And appreciate Brother Jimmy for helping us out with this and read our prayer request. How many has a special need on your heart that you'd like to make known while he's coming? Amen.
Sister Lisa Cutts would like to thank the church for the flowers, all the cards that were sent, the prayers, and while she was ill, most of all, appreciate all of you for being aware of her during this time. So we're glad to have her back in the service with us tonight. Please pray for Eddie Glenn from Kentucky. He's been diagnosed with prostate cancer. The doctor thinks the cancer has spread throughout. So let's remember this gentleman in prayer also tonight. Sister Janet Barron says that her next door neighbor died of a heart attack yesterday. Please pray for his relatives and friends. So let's remember this family. Sister Veta Collins' granddaughter, Jayla, she has an extremely high fever and can't keep anything down. So let's remember this child tonight also in our prayers. Please pray for Brother Skip Walker's mother. She fell and broke her hip and is presently in surgery tonight. So let's remember her in prayer also. Please pray for Angel Piercy. She has a very high fever tonight. So let's remember that young lady. Pray for Sister Linda Lars and the family. They're all sick and unable to be in church. So let's remember them. And please pray for Sister Christine Baker, who is sick and unable to be in church also tonight, turned in by Brother Baker. If you'd all stand with me. And as we always say, remember your neighbor, those next to you, many needs among us. Brother Joe, would you come tonight and lead us to the Lord in prayer with these requests?
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, first we want to say, Lord, if there's anything in our heart and in our life, Lord, that would be a hindrance tonight, Lord, for these needs, Father, would you take it away and forgive us, Father? Anything, Lord, that would hinder us from receiving what you have for us tonight, Lord, Lord, may it be removed from our lives, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you with these needs, Lord. Every service, Lord, it seems like there's just so many, Lord. But, Lord, as we've been hearing the word lately, Lord, is Philippians 4:8, Lord, has just resonated in our heart and our minds, Lord. Lord, if we let that live out in our hearts, Lord, if Philippians 4 can become a reality, Lord. Lord, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, Lord. Verse 19 says, my God will supply all thy needs, Lord, through his riches in Christ, Father. Lord, it would be impossible not to win, Lord. Lord, as we bring these needs before you, Father, we're applying that, Lord. We're claiming it, Lord. We're putting our affirmations on every one of these needs, dear Lord. We're asking that you come tonight, Lord, as the word comes forth. May each one that had a need, Lord, reach out and pull on that word, Lord, according to each need, Father. Lord, there's nothing, Father, that cannot be met here tonight, Lord. Every single person could walk out this door, Lord, with their need met, Lord, if they apply every affirmation, Lord, that you've been giving us, Lord, over the last several months, Father. Lord, Satan's job is to take that from us, Father. But it's our job as sons and daughters of God to lay a claim on that, Father. Put it in our hearts and in our souls, Lord, and claim it as our own. We thank you for it, Lord. As the service continues tonight, Lord, bless Brother Harvey, Lord, as he leads the service. The musicians, dear Lord, touch each one of them, Lord. Brother Donnie, as he brings the word, Lord, now Satan's job is, Lord, be a hindrance to him, Father. Lord, pray that you anoint him, move him out of the way, and speak to your bride tonight, Lord. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. Amen. If the brothers had come at this time, we'd like to receive our offering. Amen. I'd like to sing together a song in worship this evening. higher ground. And while we're at it, Brother David, you going to have a song for us? Good deal. Amen. Let me get with my musician over here. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on a higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's your prayer. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Your desire tonight. Amen. You can be seated. Appreciate Brother David Swanson.
Appreciate Brother Harvey. We go way back to Arizona. He's the song leader back there for us. I think he did the same thing to me back then, too. We all know this song, How Great Thou Art, but let's, if you want to help me on the chorus, and I'll sing the verses. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, oh, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die. Oh, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, oh, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to great thou art, oh, how great.
my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. Oh, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration
together as we change the order of the service this evening. Did you come expecting? You know, today was just kind of a cold, dreary, and gloomy day, but we don't have to be that way. Let's give God 100% tonight. Amen. Let's worship God with Brother Harry as he sings with us. As we change the order of the service, I've learned a few things from you, Brother Louis.
What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, I know what a mighty God my Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His bride loves to bow before Him and say, what a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Church, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him and say, what a mighty God.
Jesus is.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The words of our Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak. Now this English word can be a little bit play on words for us from where it come from in the Greek. Actually, the word idle is slow, barren, free from labor, at leisure, lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. So it's saying words that are easier to say, what you're used to saying, instead of disciplining yourself and making yourself have to labor to say the right words. You bunch of lazy outfits. You might as well say amen, because we all are that way. We go our patterns, our habitual ways, and that's the way we get into it, and it's much easier to stay that way. But look how serious this is. So Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How many believe words are powerful? They are. Words are actually electromagnetic charged thoughts. That's what they are. They are thoughts that come from electromagnetic charge inside of your brain. Now, whether they're right or wrong, that has nothing to do with it. Whether they are true or false, that has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with being electromagnetically charged. They are charged because they come from the firing side of your brain. And your subconscious doesn't always say what's right. It just believes what's constantly fed to it. You can stand right here tonight and be as deceived as the day is long, and just say it over and over again and be willing to give your life for it and be as wrong as you can be. So if our words are that powerful and our words will justify us or condemn us, then I think we ought to find some real meaning of our words, don't you? Really assess them by God's help and grace. So I'd like to speak to you tonight on behavior follows our thoughts. Behavior follows our thoughts. Now, it's not the other way around, as we would tend to think. But listen carefully to the title. Behavior follows our thoughts, not thoughts following our behavior. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, that we can be gathered together again in your house. Lord, how we appreciate your presence. Lord, just back in the office hearing the songs, and Lord, just sensing that you're here in such a wonderful way among your people. How it must so move your heart when we gather together like this, Lord, and we sing praise and adoration to you. We're not here to worship any man. We're not here to worship any creed, any dogma. But we're here, Father, that we might give praise and worship directly to you. And then, Lord, we've come here that we might be corrected. This is a house of God, so it's a house of correction. We're here, Father, that you might be able to speak to us and take those things in our life that aren't pleasing to you, or those places that need discipline, whatever it is. Father, if we need a pat on the back tonight, then we'll certainly accept that as well.
And so we commit the service to you and just ask you to help us. Help me that I can get out of the way. Help these people that they can be able to get out of the way and listen and hear and be changed by the words of life. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. Saints, you may be seated. Certainly appreciate each of you here tonight. Certainly glad to see you. Sister Lisa Cutts back with us in the service. So she's been really sick, and appreciate the Lord being with her and helping her and giving her strength. Just want to continue to remember in our prayers that the Lord would just strengthen her and be with her. Let me start out so you'll see the direction that I wish to go tonight from a message that Brother Branham preaches in Jonesboro, Arkansas in 1953. When you believe, you say, you believe, you say, yes, I am, then you believe you're a Christian. You can't show nothing that you are, but you believe you are. Now look at this. You say that you're a Christian. You say that you're a believer. You cannot show. You cannot prove scientifically, materially. You cannot prove any way that you are a Christian. But yet you believe that you are. And then when you confess that you are, when you confess Him, He confesses you. Now watch what happens. You can't prove that you're a child of God. You can't prove that you just received salvation last year, a month ago, whatever it was, but you believe that you did. Then you go to confessing it. Now that confession is a forming together of words that generate from thoughts that someone has told you about a concept of a Savior and a concept of you being lost and a concept of you being now saved. All that merges together in a very primitive, childish way. You will start confessing, I'm saved. I give my heart to God. I believe God forgive me. I believe I'm on my way to heaven. However it was that you started saying it. Now, so far, there's no proof. Just that those thoughts are now becoming more of a substance and you're saying them. If those thoughts come from the foundational part of your mind, they've been energized by something down from real from within you, then those become electromagnetic charged thoughts, which are words. Then you start acting out on that. Now notice what he said. Then you confess that you are. When you confess him, he confesses you. He's a high priest working on what? Not on your crying, not on your repenting, not on your face, but on your confession. You can have all the faith in the world and God won't do one thing for you till you go to talking about it. Now when you go to talking about it, then he goes to talking about it. And the more you talk about it, the more he says. And the more positive you are, the more positive he'll be for you. Now, believing and remaining silent is absolutely powerless. Our thoughts are not electromagnetic charged until they become expressive thoughts in the form of words. Confession only in our mind will do us no good. A secret Christian will do you no good. A secret believer of the message will do you no good. You gotta talk about it. That's right. No matter how much faith you got, it'll never do you any good till you put works with it. Now, are we all going to walk on water? Nope. Are we going to raise the dead? Nope. One of the works of real faith is confessing what he's done. You're looking for you to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils. And let me tell you right now, many of you will never do that. You're not called to. But your work will be confessing what he has said and letting that be an outworking in your life. That is works express. Now the body without the spirit is dead. Then when you say, I believe Christ and you accept it, go saying so. Then you believe you're a Christian, you say you're a Christian, you act like a Christian, you associate with those that are Christians, and it works righteousness, not signs and wonders, not miracles, not walking on water, it works righteousness. Don't let the devil beat you over the head because many of you don't do the great signs of Mark 16 and all that. You're not called to. That's in the body. That's not for every individual. But it works righteousness and the word of God materializes in your body. After a while, everybody knows you're a Christian because you hold your confess. You act like it. You go down the street not saying, well, I'm half. Maybe I'm a Christian. No. You go down and say, I'm a Christian. You're bold with it. Then he's bold with it.
Now, if you're a pansy about it, he'll be a pansy about it. If you're going to be kind of quiet about it and not be bold, he won't be bold. You want to make Jesus bold about who you are? Be bold about it yourself. You want to act like a coward? You're going to act like you're not very confident? How can he act that way in heaven? So if you want him to be bold, Donnie's my son. How's that going to happen? And I'm going to say it. I'm his son. Not perhaps, not maybe. I'm thinking about it. I'm weighing out my odds. No, sir. I am his son. I'm ordained to life. I'm predestinated to the cause. I was born to torment the devil. I was ordained to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I was called to be faithful. I was chosen to life in the last days. Oh my. Notice again, perhaps 80% or 90% of this audience tonight would be Christians. Well then, if you got in your mind that you wasn't a Christian any longer, and you would quit confessing that you was a Christian, you got dropped right out of the picture. Notice it didn't come in your soul. It didn't come in your heart. It simply come in your mind. And then you dropped your confession. Notice what he says. Then you would quit confessing. Now you're not saying yet, I'm a sinner, I'm backslid. You just stopped saying who you were. So when you got in your mind you wasn't, and you stop saying it here of who you was, you start dropping out of the picture automatically. You're not sinning, you're not drinking, you're not smoking, you're not running around, you just stop talking. And your behavior will follow your thoughts. So if you say, I'm not a good Christian, I'm not a very good person, then your behavior will begin to align with those thoughts. Notice this again, how powerful that your mind and your thoughts are. You just imagine that somebody hates you once. And they don't hate you, but you imagine they do. And you just keep thinking. Now it starts with the birth of one thought. And you begin to think one time, this person does not like me. And then you begin to think on this same thought pattern. Now watch what happens, how it builds now. Then you imagine they do, and you keep thinking they don't like me. And the first thing you know, you'll be shunning that person. When they haven't done nothing to you, but in your mind, they don't like you. They've got something out. They don't care for you. They don't like this or that or the other. And then your behavior will begin to reflect what you are thinking. So if you think Brother Jack don't like you, then you get around Brother Jack and you'll start acting funny. And then he'll start noticing it. And then you'll make him nervous every time he gets around you, cause he can pick up this something, and then maybe he don't know what to say, which gives you more evidence that he don't like you. And the whole thing started in your mind with one thought, and then you begin to build and add and add and add to those thoughts, until you got all these ants in your head. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now watch this, how powerful it is. They don't like me. The first thing you know, you'll be shunning that person. When they haven't done nothing. You mean to tell me we can be so deceived? We as Christians can be so deceived in ourselves. I'm not talking about your soul now. I'm talking about in your thoughts and in your mind. We can be so deceived that we think a brother or a sister or whoever has got something against us, and it is a big lie. But to us, it's more real than that pulpit. That shows the power of your mind. Now what's happening right here in this individual's life, though it's make-believe, yet in this individual's life, their behavior is starting to line up with their thoughts. Because Brother Tim don't like him, or Brother Donnie don't like him. And if there's anybody in the church that the devil wants to make everybody believe that don't like him, it's me. Don't sit there and look at me like some of y'all ain't fought it. Probably everybody here has, except for the babies, and they will eventually. Can't you see why? If he convinces you that I don't like you, how can I help you? How can I stand up here and ever help you any one thing of your life if you don't believe I love you and care for you? Then my words will be worthless to you. Can't you see why Satan will do it to the song leader or a deacon or a minister or a husband or whoever it is that will have value and input in your life? And how many of us, don't get quiet on me now, how many of you sitting right here tonight are guilty of this quote? I'm not raising, asking you to raise hands for admission of guilt, but just hold it in your heart and say, God help me. God help me. I've been here many a time of this quote right here. I'll just be flat honest with you. And if you say you ain't, I'm going to call you a liar to your face. I don't believe in beating around the bush. Just go ahead and say it. We've all been there and done that. Now notice, after a while, it becomes so a reality to you. To you actually believe that person doesn't like you. And it started where? In the birthing of electromagnetic thoughts in your brain. And it's as real to you, and neither them nor God will be able to tell you no different. Now this is the scary part. When we can be so deceived by our mind. Think of it, friends. We can be so deceived by our minds, and to us, it is a reality. It don't matter even how much they would say, brother, I love you. Don't you tell me you're lying to me. You don't like me, you. And if they would only listen to God, God would tell them, your mind has deceived you. Your brain burst that thought, and you are believing a lie against your brother. Well, maybe we should not go any farther than this quote. I think we're kind of hitting home already. Man, I just started too. Watch this. After a while, it becomes so a reality to you actually believe that person doesn't like you. And you might bawl them out. Or say something to you, for instance, your wife or your husband or some neighbor or something like that, when that person is absolutely innocent. But they're not innocent in your mind. Glory to God. Friends, think of what a powerful thing that we have right here. Think how devastating it can be. I wonder how many folks in this church want to be your friend, but you won't let them. Because you've got in your mind, nobody here likes me. And you'll never grow beyond the bounds of the limitations of your own mind. I tell you, the more I've been saying this, the more I realize the devil's probably had it a whole lot easier than what I've really thought. I give him credit that probably pretty much him and his devils every day has been assigned to us. And boy, I mean, we about wore them out because they've been doing so many different things. But the more I look at it, the more I realize they probably ain't really done a whole lot in the lifespan of Donnie Reagan. 56 years I've been on the earth, or every now and then they'll aggravate and do this and that and the other. Probably the most part, most of my battles have been self-inflicted. A lot of what I've been through has been my own mind, my own brain, my own complexes, my own fears. I'm going to go ahead and say for the rest of y'all, it's been the same way. And the devil ain't really had to do a whole lot to us, because all he's had to do is just funnel us in a direction and we pretty much self-destruct. Glory. You imagine how mad it makes him when children of God go to finding out the truth. So, watch this. He said, you absolutely, you bawl them out or say something to them, and the person is absolutely innocent of any ill thing. It's because you just imagine it so till it become reality to you. So imagination can lead to reality. Do you understand that the brain is such a complex mechanism that the parts of the brain that begin to imagine and work and thought, that doing magnetic resonance on the brain, and whenever they will put people into this test, and they will tell them to imagine that you're going to build this and this and do this and this, and then they scan the brain while they are imagining that they're going to do this. And then they will scan the brain when the people are actually doing it physically, and it's identical in pattern and behavior. So when the brain imagines and when the brain works it out, it's as if though the body is fulfilling it. Do you realize that your body is a slave to your brain? I'd like to drag out my pest can again tonight and spray some more ants. I'm not going to ask y'all's permission because I have the homeowner's permission. He's the homeowner here. And he owns you too, so I done got his written permission. Preach the word. So I got permission from the homeowner to be able to spray for ants. I really liked an email that we got from somebody out in Arkansas that had heard the service last week, and they said if we could ever get these ants out of our brain, we might be less pessimistic. That's real cute. I liked that real well, didn't you? Be less pessimistic. Now, watch this. Let's pick up on this again before we go into another direction. On automatic negative thoughts, which are referred to as ants, some of our negative self-talk can be in the form of automatic negative thoughts. These ants can just pop into our heads and can also be just below our conscious level. Usually when we are not stressed, we have a ratio of 2-1 positive to negative thoughts. However, when we're under chronic stress, our thinking becomes more negative. So how then do we, by the word of God, by the help of the Holy Ghost, how do we minimize, identify, and eliminate ants? Now, the doctors, psychologists, sociologists, many of these people who study this sort of thing say half the battle in dealing with automatic thoughts is identifying them. Now, that's so with sin, isn't it? Ants can operate just below our conscious awareness. But with time and practice, we can access them. We need to start to tune into our internal self-talk. Listen to what we are saying to ourselves and start identifying the automatic negative thoughts. Once we have identified them, now listen, it's very simple. Once we have identified them, we can challenge them to access their accuracy. Now, let's take this in view now with the quote we just read. So if the devil tells you, Brother Amos don't like you, what you want to do is question that voice that is telling you that and say, I want proof. The problem of it is we don't question ourselves. Whatever we tell ourselves, we believe it. That's why most folks are their absolute, no matter how much they think the Bible is. Or they say Brother Branham is, I know better, they're their own absolute. That's why they are the way they are. Now watch, these statements that I'm going to read to you tonight have been formulated and put together by, as I say, professionals who study this sort of thing and seen the behavioral patterns of people in the brain and so on. So I want you to listen to them now. Some of the examples of negative self-talk, automatic negative thoughts. Now these ants are what goes on internally. Now, no matter how much you say out here, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm this and that, but it's what happens when you talk to yourself, what you really think, the dialogue that you carry on with yourself. Now, listen to some of these. I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I'm so stupid. Guilty, somebody said? Now this is what you think. This is what you tell yourself. Do you understand what happens? Then the brain does a Google search. The brain does a search of your memory. And it will recall the idiotic things that you have done. And it will present to you the evidence to confirm that you are what you just said. Because God knows we've all got enough evidence. Now watch this. You know, many people think that getting rid of, well, I don't say I'm an idiot because I know I ain't. I don't know who's the worst off, really. Those that are so convinced they're just God's gift to the earth. Or, you know, you realize that self-talk now is not just limited to just what you say about yourself. Listen to the next example of negative self-talk. He or she is such an idiot. I can't believe he or she is so stupid. Everybody should have said guilty on that one. Nobody said nothing. Now you see, you think you're doing better because you're changing on you. You're only getting started. Our negative self-talk isn't just about us. It's about us. The people we go to church with, the people we work with, the world in general. Now some of you would never call yourself stupid because you think too highly of yourself. But you think other people are. You call them all kinds of names, you berate them. Oh, never out loud. You just smile like a possum and think, you idiot, God bless you, you're so stupid. How could you wear that tie with that shirt? Because Carol picked it out. I just put on what she said wear. You're so dumb. Now see, this is the dialogue that is so destructive. Ants. Watch this. This is terrible. This is horrible. I can't stand this. I should be able to handle this. Other people can. He or she makes me so mad. Well, glory. That's one advantage I've always thought there'd be really unique to have if you preached to all black folks. They don't blush near as bad as white folks do. Them white folks, they'll go to pink and up here in their cheeks and they'll go to acting like they don't see you. I see you. Don't worry. I see you. Some of you brothers that's losing your hair, sweat's already popped out on top of that head where hair used to be. Look, friends, we want to be helped. We want to find what these ants are and get rid of them. Don't we? Oh my. He or she is never there when I need him or her. Now you see, Satan knows that negative self-talk just about you. That would only affect one person. So he broadens that to where it affects your relationship with your husband, your wife, your pastor, the deacons, mama, daddy, aunts, uncles, basically everybody. To where nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. And this constantly goes on inside of you. This is your dialogue. This is what you think about folks at the church. It's what you think about your real family. And there again, a lot of it is absolute lies. What's this? I can't believe this is happening to me. My upbringing prevents me from loving or trusting people. Or a message rendition of that is, I can't trust preachers. You realize they never will. until that dialogue, you could give them quotes stacked that high and scriptures with it. They will not believe it. Because that is not their absolute. Their absolute is just what they said. I can't trust preachers. So-and-so failed me and so-and-so failed me and this man ran off with another man's wife and this man let me down. I do not trust any preachers. And they never will until that dialogue within themselves gets destroyed and they make part of their affirmations, I trust men of God. I can trust men of God. I can trust men of God. I can trust, some of you need to say it with me, I can trust men of God. Well, thank you, Jesus. This is one that we, probably all of us have said, things never go right for me. I wonder where we learned these at. Some of you when you're 4, 5, 6. Do you parents realize what I'm giving to you? Not only for you as adults. I'm giving you something for your children that'll spare your children of the ignorance that we were raised in. Wish I could have had this when I was back in Pentecost about 12 years old or something like that, don't you? But you know what? This apparently is the time for us. Maybe everybody else around the message is already doing this, and maybe we're the last ones. I don't know, but I'm just glad God's mindful of us. This is not just for adults. Remember your children. Much of what they are in their subconscious, much of it will be settled by the time they're 6 years old. Unless they sit under teaching to be able to rearrange that, they will be that all of their life. They're dealing with problems in school. They're dealing with math and this and that and the other. Don't tell them they're stupid. Don't tell them they're ignorant. But give them these affirmations. Honey, you can do it. Mama's praying for you. Daddy's praying for you. You can work these problems out. You can do this. And let them do it as well. Brother Donnie, you want them all to be Einsteins? No, I don't want them to be Einsteins, but I don't want them to be idiots neither. You don't want to be, oh, I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing. No, because they'll take that with them in their spiritual walk with God. It can start with math. It can start with spelling. And it adds to that negative thing. And it'll carry over from that to their walk with God. I never did win a spelling bee. I never could do this. I never could do that. God will never love me. I never did win no spelling bee either. The only thing I ever won in my life was I got a thing in the mail that said, I want a television. Of all things. So they called me wanting to know when I was going to come and pick it up. I said, I never registered for no television. I don't want no television. They said, you want it. I said, give it away. Of course, at that time, I said, my luck. And if I'd have went down and picked it up, no doubt some of you would have passed by. If I'd have went about to donate it and sell it and give it a mission offering, some of you would have drove by and seen me and took a picture of it. It'd been on Facebook. I seen Brother Donnie picking up the TV. What's this? Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. People can't change. Just as a leopard can't change his spots. Many of you have hid behind that one for years and years. I can't change. I can. You can if you want to. I can if I want to. Now this is our dialogue. Many of us. This is our talk. All of it, of course, don't fit every individual. But this one and that one. Then there'll be others that I won't mention that'll be part of your dialogue. And it's what goes on the inside of you. Oh, you've got quotes. You've got scripture. Man, you love God. You got. Then you wonder, why? Why am I not a better Christian? Why am I not more fruitful? Because the words you're pulling through has to come through all this trash. All these toxic thoughts. Toxic thoughts produce toxic emotions. I'm useless. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever said this to yourself? Do you question yourself when you say it? When you tell yourself you're of no value, you're stupid, do you question the credibility of that source? Most of us don't. We just accept it. I'm no good. I'm bad. I'm a failure. Now, where many of you get that? Your mama kept telling you. Your daddy kept telling you. A school teacher kept telling you. A grandma that raised you. Whoever more kept telling you. But now your daddy's telling you something else. Who are you going to believe? Now remember, these things have been bred in us for years. You won't drop it immediately. They tell you it takes about 21 days of constant positive affirmations in your mind to get away from such things. Then even after you break the cycle, they will still try to pop in from time to time. Now you imagine hearing years of this and then hearing it from yourself after your mama died, your daddy died, but their voice still rang in your subconscious. You are a failure. You're no good. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? Your sister makes straight A's. You're a dummy. You make C's and D's and F's. You'll never amount to nothing. Praise the Lord. I'm a failure. I'll never get another job. That's what I tell the Lord all the time. It's probably the truth. I don't guess I can use this in my information list, can I? I'm applying for a new job. I'm not a good mom or a dad. Now remember, friends, if in reality you are not these things, then change what needs to be changed and become it. If you're not a loving father, ask God to help you make this part of your affirmations and confessing. I am going to be a loving father. I'm going to be a loving mother. I'm going to be a good husband, a good wife. I'm worthless. Other people are better than me. I could never do that. I'm not a nice person. There's nothing I can do about it. I'll never be any good at it. It's always my fault. Some people think that's an act of humility. It is not humble at all, taking blame for something you never done. It's a lie. It's a lie. Where do many people get that? They always done it when they were at home. There was always blame for stuff that their siblings done, and it's so rooted in their subconscious, it became automatic. If the Eiffel Tower falls, somehow they feel like it's their fault, even though they live in Johnson City. It's just their mindset. They're so negative about everything. Oh my, stand still and let me spray you with a good dose of the Holy Ghost to get them ants out of your mind. I think I'll preach 40 days and 40 nights on this one. Nobody likes me. I'm not popular. I can't cope. Now you see, we think these are just internal things and they have no value, they have no weight, and sometimes we'll say them. And we think, oh, I don't mean nothing. If God will help me, I want to show you what these things do to you as an individual. I want to show you how it changes your structure. How it changes your brain, the chemistry in your body, when you make these statements. Your immune system goes into a type of paralysis. Your digestive tract, the hypothalamus and the thalamus. Y'all didn't know you had one of them, did you? Don't worry, it ain't contagious. You need it. How it reacts when your body hears you say these things, what it does to you. We're a living miracle. When you look at it, supernatural of what God has made. And some of you are a miracle that you've lived this long as negative as you talk. I can't cope. Why does this always happen to me? This is the worst thing could have ever happened. I'll never be able to learn this. I'll never get better. I'm not bright enough. The worst happens to me. This won't work out. I'll never get things right. The problems I'm having now will go on forever. No, they won't forever. Eventually you'll die. Which will be some people's only deliverance. I realize that. But I don't want it to be my only deliverance. I want it to be able to stop while I'm alive. I want to be able to get some ants out of our head. The queen, the colony, the whole bunch. Watch this. Dr. Richard J. Davidson, professor of psychology and psychiatric at the University of Wisconsin, found that the effects of positive thinking extends to the cells in your body. His research showed optimists have higher levels of disease-fighting cell activity with less of a decline under stress. Optimists also have lower levels of stress hormone cortisol. Over time, these biological consequences may... Listen, these folks ain't listening to tapes. They're not going to church. They're not praying. They're just thinking right things. If it'll do that to them, what would it do to us with the Holy Ghost? Over time, these biological consequences may lead to a longer life, reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, increased psychological well-being, increased levels of productivity. I want all the above. My, I might be able to live 6 months longer. That means I can whoop the devil 6 months more. Hallelujah. I might have a better psychological outlook on life. I might have a better well-being. I might just be an overall better person. Watch this. Sometimes the person eroding our sense of self-worth and limiting our potential is us. Our self-talk or the words of our inner dialogue uses, notice this, when we think can increase our stress levels, limit our potential, color our experience with a negative pen. It has been found out that the types of words we use can alter expectations or even our perceptions of reality. For example, if you've been told that a difficult person is a nightmare to work with, you will probably perceive that person as more frustrating than if you'd been told that that particular or somewhat demanding. If your dentist tells you, oh Lord, I've hunted bear, lions, I've been in the plains of Africa hunting Cape Buffalo, there ain't many things I'm afraid of, but a dentist is one of them. You big coward, you! Well, call me what you want to. I went the other day just to get a cleaning. Time I got up, whole back of my shirt was wet, back of my britches was wet, where I laid there and sweated. And they just cleaned me. I was so happy when I got done. Now watch this. If your dentist tells you this will hurt a lot, you will probably find a procedure more painful than if you would have been told you may experience some discomfort. I think I'm going to start rewording my initial comments when I come out to preach. I'm just going to start saying it that way. Y'all may experience a little bit of discomfort in the service today. Instead of saying, I'm going to burn you up, I'm just going to start saying a little bit milder. So some of you will take your toes out of this new carpet and you'll stop burning up the pews there and you kind of let relax a little bit. You understand? Oh my, I've been on so many flights in different parts of the world. And when the pilot said, we're experiencing so-and-so over so-and-so, but oh Lord, here we go. And you know what? Within you, you can actually make it worse than what you will face. Don't you see? You are a creator. Can I go on? What's this? If you say, I can't handle this, you more than likely can't, because your subconscious mind tends to believe the thoughts it hears. You can limit your abilities by telling yourself you can't. This is too hard for you, or that you shouldn't even try. You say, Brother Donnie, that's just natural. It ain't natural. I hear these same things about serving God. I can't, it's too hard. I can't give up this. I can't quit that. I've tried over and over and over again. It's not just altogether a spiritual problem. It's a psychological problem that happened to them when they were a child, when they were a teenager, when they were in their 20s, and now it's manifesting itself out of them. I can't do it. I can't live right. I can't do so and so. I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, they need help, all right. They need help in their mind. What's what happens? Very simple. When you tell yourself you can't handle something or some other self-limiting thought, you tend to stop looking for solutions. So the devil gives us self-limiting thoughts. He goes down in hell, kicks up his feet in his recliner, turns on the television or the television, whichever one he watches, and just sits down there and makes fun of us because we're running up on the earth like we know more than everybody in the world, and we're so defeated we barely can lift our head up from Sunday to Wednesday. Oh my, oh yeah, they're this, they're the bride, they know the seals, they know this and that and the other. We're all bogged down with all of our thought life and all of this trash up inside of our head, our self-limiting thoughts, our self-limiting abilities. And we say, well, I can't do it, I've done this, I've done that. Oh friends, we need to go, I tell you, I believe we need to go up to Father and say, Father, clean me out. Detox my brain. Clean the ants out of my mind so I can think whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report. Think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any other good thing from God, think on this. What's what we do? We prophesy ourselves into these situations. For example, notice the difference between telling yourself you can't handle something and asking yourself how you will handle something. Doesn't that second thought feel more hopeful? Feel more hopeful? Feel more hopeful. Because your thoughts will press the metabolism in your body and release feel-good chemicals, which will cause your body to correspond to thoughts. You see, good thoughts release good chemicals. Bad thoughts release bad chemicals. Notice, whenever you say something, your mind tries to build a case for it. If you call yourself stupid, the mind does a subconscious Google search on the word stupid, pulls up a list of every stupid thing you ever done in your life. Now you have the proof that you are stupid. And you start acting that way. Oh my. If you call yourself a winner, your mind pulls up all your winning moments and you start acting like a winner. So if I reprogram my subconscious to get the ants out of my mind, amen, I'm a son of God. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be in the rapture. I'm one of His. I'm elected. I'm ordained. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm faithful. I'm predestinated. And it goes to fully, and then all of a sudden, I'm overloading my subconscious. I'm overloading. Shut down, shut down, shut down. He's a son of God. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at all that God's done through His life. and sorting all that, I'm over here shouting, having a spell. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm full of good thoughts. Look at these comments from Dr. Caroline Leaf. Toxic thoughts are like poison. But the good news is, you can break the cycle of toxic thinking. You can reverse the effects of toxic thoughts. At once that cycle of toxic thinking has been broken, your thoughts can actually start to improve every area of your life. Anybody here want to go with me? How many like every area of your life to be improved? Your relationships, your health, even your success. A thought may seem harmless, but it becomes toxic. Even just a thought can become physically, emotionally, or spiritually dangerous. Brother Donnie, how can you believe such a thing? Because Brother Branham taught it. And Paul and Jesus and Solomon. These doctors are just now finding out what they taught years ago. Watch, Brother Bam said, you take a man sitting here this morning, not a bit sick. Let him begin to get in his heart believing he's sick. They'll pack him out of the building. Not 4 years later. Not 6 months later, at the end of that service or before the service ends. You mean those thoughts can have such powerful reaction on that man. He can think himself sick. Well, if I can do that, what about thinking myself well? If I can think myself down, what about thinking myself up? My brother Ben said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. That's not Christian science. I'm not meaning mind over matter, but you see, the thing of it is, it's the atmosphere that you live in. Friend, it's not just an atmosphere of spirit. It's an atmosphere of thought. An atmosphere of thought. Where you live, what you listen to, the music you listen to, the people you associate with, that creates an atmosphere around you. Do you realize 100,000 chemical reactions go on in your brain every second? Every time you have an angry, unkind, sad, or cranky thought, your brain releases negative chemicals that activate your deep limbic system and make your body feel bad. If some of you all made me feel as bad as I make myself feel bad, Brother Jerry, I'd talk to you like you was a dog. I'd jump all over you and say, Brother, why do you do this to me? Why are you loading me down? Why are you making me feel so bad? I think it's time we need to point them fingers back to us and say, hey, old boy, I'm getting sick and tired of you making me sick and tired. You are the one. You're the culprit. You're the one that's getting me down. You're the one that's making me feel all this stuff. Think about the last time you were mad. How did you feel? Of course, I know this don't apply to any of y'all, but I'll say it for them poor old people that stream the services. How did you feel? When most people are angry, their muscles become tense. Their heart beat faster. Their hands start to sweat. And they may even begin to feel a little dizzy. Whoa. Your body, what is it doing? Your behavior is taking on the shape or the form of the chemicals that's being released in your body. The cortisol, the adrenaline, the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland. All of this is going on. It's sending this muscle. And all this is going on inside of your body. Can't you see what all these poor old people get on these websites and Facebook and all these forums? And they go to releasing all these putrid thoughts. All this toxic poison. Can't you see all these folks that's turned to get the message, friend? They finally got somewhere they can point the blame for all of their life's issues. It's Brother Branham's fault. It's the message. I'd have been so much better off if I'd that method. I'll tell you one thing, that bunch of, and just watch them spew. And yet they're better Christians than they were before. Oh my. They're so toxic in their behavior. They're toxic. They put lies on there. They put half-truths. Come on now. And spewing out all of this all over everywhere. They want to spew on you or you or you or you. If I was you, I'd rather be on the good side than in the garbage dump. Now, if you want to get on there and sort through all that garbage and vomit, that's up to you. I don't want to be found in the dump myself. I want to be digging around in the Word of God, finding what's good, what's lovely, what's powerful. What's this? The body is the servant of the mind. It obeys the operations of the mind. At the bidding of toxic thoughts, the body sinks into disease and decay. At the command of a glad and beautiful thought, it becomes clothed with health and happiness. Now let's look at some more affirmations. Shall we? If I fall and make a mistake, I will get up. Now this is going to be an opposite to what that your subconscious has been trained all of your life. You sorry old Phillips, it runs in your blood to be bad. It runs in your blood, Greg Robbins, to be a failure. It runs in your blood to be a yonce, to be a failure. It runs, no, but you reprogram that. No, that's not true. No matter how many of my predecessors fell before me, I'm not saying I won't make a mistake, but I am saying this. If I do make a mistake, I will get up, I will repent, I will make that mistake right, and I will go on. I will dust myself off, and I will not come to the house of God like I'm a slave, because I'm not a slave, and I'm not going to crawl under the table and ask for a crumb. I'm going to pull up to the table and ask for a plate and a fork and knife. I want the bread, the salad. I want the whole seven-course meal. I want something to drink. I want my cup full of Holy Ghost wine. And I think I'll just go ahead and have a spell while I'm at it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Boy, he started shouting, didn't he? Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Notice, they don't rise. The Bible don't say you won't make mistakes. The Bible don't say you won't fall. But the same Bible that says you will, says you'll get back up. I ain't planning on falling. I ain't looking to fall. But if I do, if I get overwhelmed, there's a way made back for me, and I will use it. I may hide my head in shame for a while. I may be embarrassed by my actions. I may confess I've done wrong. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But I'm not going to wallow under that table, because I ain't no dog. Because Jesus didn't die for dogs. He didn't die for cats. He died for human beings, and I ain't no dog. Glory. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, glory, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So if Satan lays a snare for me, and he catches me, and I've been stressed out or whatever more, and he catches me in a snare, and he knocks me down, and makes fun of me, and laughs at me, that's all right. I will get the last laugh. And I will learn by that mistake. I don't want to repeat it again and again and again and again. I want to say, God, help me that I don't do that again. But I will not stay there in the muck of sin. I'll not stay there in the muck of shame and humiliation. I will rise. I will get up. And I'll go back to Father's house and say, Father, forgive me. This next one just blows the negative subconscious plumb out of the water. I am called, chosen, and faithful. Does that sound like somebody who's just barely holding on by the skin of their teeth? It ain't the skin of my teeth that saved me, it's the skin of my Lord. I ain't hanging on by the skin of my teeth. I didn't barely make it from Wednesday till tonight. I tell you one thing, I couldn't hardly wait to get here. I didn't barely hold on, and y'all pray for me. I'll be able to hold on through Thursday. Oh, glory to God, and then pray for me. I'll be able to make it through Friday. I've been chomping at the bits to bring this word to you. I believe that's the way God wants his children to be. I don't think he wants us barely holding on to this day. Pray for me. I'll hold on. The devil's been aggravating me. Bless his holy name. I ain't going to bless his holy name. I'm going to call him a liar. I'm going to say he's defeated. I'm going to say my Lord beat him 2,000 years ago, and the body is beating him now. Not only is Jesus called and chosen and faithful, but I am. Revelation 17:14, and they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I'm faithful to God, I'm faithful to church, I'm faithful to my wife, I'm faithful to my children, I'm faithful to my post of duty, I'm faithful to you, I'm faithful. Amen! I like to keep my appointment so I won't be late in the day of the rapture. I'll be faithful there too. Whether I'm in the grave or whether I'm alive, I'm faithful. I belong to a priesthood. You see, I'm not just the epitome of the lowlife. I'm not an example of some scumbag. I'm not a sinner that's given something called grace that still allows me to be a sinner. I was a sinner, but I ain't a sinner no more. I'm not the modern day theology of a sinner saved by grace, which means they're still a sinner and still saved at the same time, which is totally contradictory. You cannot be a sinner and be saved at the same time. You're one or the other. I was a sinner, but I ain't a sinner no more. I'm saved by grace. Glory. That I am not one that has to go around and beg, as I said, for crumbs under the table. I'm not one who cannot talk to the Father on his own. I'm not one who does not have direct permission and absolute command to come into his court. I belong to a priesthood, which means I have direct access 24 hours a day to the King. I don't have to call Jeffersonville. I don't have to call Tucson. I don't have to call the Vatican. Say, oh no, the Pope has resigned. What am I going to do now? Don't make me a nickel's worth of difference. Because the Pope resigned don't mean nothing to me. I've got a mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Not only have I got a mediator, I am a mediator. Because I belong to a priesthood. I'm so much a part of this priesthood, I can ask in his name. I don't use his name as a magical connotation. But I am so in his name, he hears himself praying when I pray in divine will. I belong to a priesthood. Oh, glory to God. I said, I belong to a priesthood. You're familiar with this, I know. Watch Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Royal, kingly, regal. Now remember in the Old Testament, there was never one that God ever allowed to be prophet, priest, and king, all three. That position was forbidden by any in the Old Testament. Only Melchizedek could hold that place in the New. The Lord Jesus. notice then we belong to a regal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Amen. Look at the word priesthood, the office of a priest, the order or body of priest. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now notice, not a Levitical priesthood. It is not a priesthood of lowly priests that are the poor offscouring of the world. It is a priesthood of kings. There has never been a priesthood like this one. Remember the Levites, some of them are many, many poor people. They barely scraped a living. The bride is not scraping a living. She belongs to a royal dignity. Oh, glory. She is a priesthood of kings. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise be to God. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. He has made us kings and priests unto God. And his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Notice, now the mixture comes together under the New Testament order of Melchizedek. A kingly priesthood. Revelation 5:10, and it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 20:6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection on such. The second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we are an order of priests that has never been before until the New Testament. We are a divine order, a royal order of kings. Hallelujah. Hold on now. I am a written epistle. Some of y'all's brain need recitation mouth to mouth. Y'all need to be revived. You cross-wired. Can't you see why Satan don't want you to be this about yourself? How can you say I'm nothing, I'm no good, I'm worthless, and say you're a royal priest at the same time? Let me close with this one. I'm a written epistle. 2 Corinthians 3:2, for you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Do you honor the epistle of Paul to the Romans? Do you? Do you believe these epistles are inspired by God? To Thessalonica, to the Romans, to the Corinthian church, to Galatia, to Ephesians. Do you believe they are epistles written with parchment and hide and whatever more that they wrote? And that same man who wrote that told the elect of his day, you also are an epistle. Except I didn't write you. He did. Don't you understand? Jesus saved the most of his writing. He didn't write when he was here. He was going to write after the Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost. He's still writing today. We think the message reaches its perfection when we get it on tape. The message is like every other word of God. It reaches its completion when it becomes a human being. Notice this. Brother Branham says this. You're God's house, living, walking around, manifesting the living God. For God dwells not in temples made with hands, but a body hast thou prepared me. You are God's letter. A written epistle. God is in you, manifesting himself through. If you could prostrate yourself before God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Come unto me. And then the Holy Spirit comes in, then you're a living idol of God. living representative of God, walking around with God, speaking through your lips to others. Well, praise the Lord. So which are you, an epistle or an idiot? Which are you, an epistle or stupid? You can't be both. You're going to have to make up your mind who you want to be. And you're going to have to get both of these men lined up. There's many people that won't take time to read the Bible. Listen to the way he says this. But they'll read you. You see, you are a written epistle of God. A real true, notice now, not everybody that says they're in a message. But a real true born again Christian is the word expressed again. Because your written epistles of God, read of all men, what type of person should we be if we know that our lives is an open living Bible? Now you realize there's a translation today of the Bible called the Open Bible. There's also another translation called the Living Bible. Well, I'm both. Not their translation, his translation. Because they leave a lot in and they change a lot and add a lot to it and it don't even make no sense, some of it. But his always makes sense. I'm a written epistle, so I need to behave like the Bible. So when I'm at Lowe's, I need to behave like the Holy Bible. If I'm at Walmart, wherever I'm at, I need to behave like the Holy Bible. I need to act it from cover to cover. Even the outside says Holy Bible, so I need to act it. You see, when this Bible was bought from me and my name was inscribed down at the bottom, and that's all that a mortal can do, but the living God can take that and inscribe it in my heart, then I become what? A written epistle known and read of all men. Remember, the Bible said you're living written epistles, read of all men. Now, how many people won't read the Bible? But God has made you a living representative. You are a walking letter. Should be a walking Bible. Christ in you. You should be the walking Word of God. Two more quotes on this affirmation. As it is written. Written, you are written epistles, the Bible said. What is an epistle? It's a written word. And you are written, the written. In other words, you read it like this. You, it said, are the written epistles, or you are the word that has been written, made manifest. The Bible says there'll be a bride. That's the written word. Here's the manifestation. Brother Ben said there'll be a people that'll come in the last days, and he said they'll know who they are, they'll recognize their position in the Word, that's what's written, here's the manifestation of it. He said if there's another generation beyond me, they'll go even farther than what we are. Of course that stops the message people right there, but it don't stop the bride. Praise the Lord! Harvest time. He'll vindicate it. So in your life, that's how all men know that your written epistles, read of God. Written epistle is this Bible. Is that right? An epistle is the Bible. And you're a written Bible reflecting His Word, that perfect man again in God. We've quoted these things for years. We've said amen to them. We've screamed and hollered and shouted. They've made great camp meeting subjects. And then we left the camp meeting, went back home, and our subconscious and our dialogue and our self-talk, still in all that old negative stuff. A week or two of the camp meeting become a memory, and we're right back to what we were.
I'm no good. I'm worthless. He or she makes me so mad. I don't like them. Why do they have to say amen so loud? Why do they have to sit right in front of me and raise their hand right in my face? Self-talk. Self-talk. This is another thing that I am that we'll get to. I'm a worshiper. And being a worshiper, everything don't have to go my way. Now, if I was the idol and I was the God being worshiped, then I'd want everything to my particular. But since I'm a worshiper, mingling in with other worshipers, I don't figure the temperature's going to suit me. I don't figure that the pew distance is going to suit me. I don't figure the music being so loud or the piano or the organ or whatever, because it's not meant to suit me. It's not working around me. I am a worshiper. So I've come to worship. I don't figure it's all going to suit me. Never has, never will. That's not the reason that I'm here. I'm here to worship. Brother M said a worshiper comes, other people come. 1961, he said they complain about this and they complain about that and they complain about that. He said they are not a worshiper. A worshiper comes to the house of God to worship. Amen. I didn't come to see what color shirt you had on, what color suit you had on. Hopefully you didn't do the same to me, but I come to worship. I come to hear the word. I come to preach the word. What about it? I am a worshiper, and being that everything is not going to go my way, I don't expect it to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's just raise our hands and act like worshipers. Forget about you. Temperature. Sound. Loudness. Too quiet. Too loud. Too many people around me. No. No, 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 no. You're not the idol being worshipped. You are a worshiper. A worshiper. So you've come to worship Him not on your conditions. On His. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, may our thoughts be so aligned with Your word. Lord, get these ants out of our head, as it were, Lord. These old negative thoughts about ourselves, and negative thoughts about our brothers, and negative thoughts about our sisters, Father. Negative thoughts about preachers and churches, and we can spend all our time wallowing on all that. Oh, Lord God, we can think of whatsoever things are good and lovely and pure and of a good report. We don't want to spew out bitterness and anger and strife and all this sort of thing, Lord. We want to be like You, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we want to be a pearl of great price. And yet the bride is going to be pulled out of a muck of sin and mess all around us. But she'll be a pearl one day taken out of this world. Hallelujah. Lord God, no doubt part of the muck will be the system out here. No doubt part of it will be away from the message of those that's fallen away from it. Now they're making their own Jesus, their own form of all these sort of things. We just keep right on going, Lord. Oh, it's always painful when Lot pulls away, but it had to come to a time that he had to leave. He had to differ with Abraham. He had to differ with his jurisdiction. He had to differ with what he taught. He finally had to head towards Sodom. He could never stay with the teaching of Abraham and lived in Sodom. Neither could these defectors that are leaving and going away. Every one of them going right straight back to worldlyism, dressing like the world, acting like the world. It's Lot pulling away, Lord. It hurts us, it's painful, but it's gotta be. But Lord, we keep right on going. Right on all the sickness, all the trouble, all the things that are around us, Lord God. But we don't want to spend all of our time wallowing in that. Oh Jesus, we want to thank You for all that You've made us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You love Him, children. With all your heart. With all your heart. Look at me. Years ago when I stood in Durban, South Africa, Brother Nami Naidu took me to an Indian festival. Those people at that time had 33 million gods and goddesses. All types of shapes and images. There were thousands of those people out on this great field there in Durban. They were going to do a parade, a march over to a temple.
There would be over here maybe 5 or 6 people standing around one individual, man or woman. Most of them are men, some are women. They had little tiny things that looked like tambourines or cymbals, little bitty old things like this. 2 or 3 of them would be doing that. And they get the music going real fast, going, going. And then they start saying chants. I got all this on video. Saying all these chants, and all of a sudden, this individual that they're gathering around lets out a big scream, blood-curdling scream. That lets them know he's ready. Then they take a long thing like a straight pin. The music's still going. They take black ashes and rub on his face and rub all over him. They take this long straight pin, pull his tongue out. Start weaving it through his tongue. Fish hooks. Run it up through oranges and grapefruit and apples and whatever more. Hang them fish hooks all over their body. Them shouting, dancing, worshiping. And it was a presence because I could feel it. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was demons. Then they would have an image made of these images all over these little buggy type things. Had them on wheels. And they would take big old hooks, like grab hooks. Your brothers know what I'm talking about. Big old grab hooks. And they'd take them grab hooks and run right in the backs of these people. And they would start pulling this cart. And they're going to pull it 3 or 4 miles over to this place. Now, Brother Nami told me that he's known some of these people, he himself being a Hindu, before his conversion. Talked to many of them after they come out of this sort of thing. And he said, they remember nothing. One man we passed by as I was videoing, they was getting him ready and sticking this thing through his tongue and the fish hooks and all of that. When Nami passed by, he waved at him. He said, he'll be sore tomorrow. I guess he wasn't in the spirit. They were worshipers. As the day went on, the crowd got bigger and bigger. 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. By the end of the day, we rushed over in the vehicle. By the time they got over to the temple, oh, you ain't never seen nothing like it in your life. A little bitty small place, not as big as this church. But some great something had happened according to their legend. All of them worshiping, crying, shouting, dancing. These ones were bleeding, blood running down their back. Some of them I saw where the hooks tore plumb through the flesh in their back. These balls hanging all over them. And you get tired if I ask you to worship 15 minutes after the word. Are we worshipers? Well, if you're not, make it a part. Make it a part of your affirmation. I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. It's who I am. It's who I am. I'm called to go to church, Brother Terry. I love to go to church. It's bred in my genes, my spiritual makeup to go to the house of God. Not only that to go, but to be a participant. I'm not there as a decoration on the end of the pew. I'm not there as a flower or a tree. I am there as a worshiper, Brother Gene. I am there as a worshiper. If they would let them pierce their backs and their tongues and all this sort of thing in order to do this for their God, surely I can raise my hands. Surely I can lift my voice and shed tears and worship my King. They're worshiping demons. They're worshiping an idolatry. And we're worshiping the living God, the resurrected Lord Jesus. Don't you appreciate him? Don't you know what goes on at all these rock and roll concerts? Don't you know what went on when Elvis was here? And them women were throwing their clothes up on the platform to him to autograph? Don't you know them women would get close to him and they'd pass out? Don't you know what that was? Worship. It was idolatry. Jesus don't want you to throw your clothes up here. We can ride on them. He wants to ride on you. He wants to make you the book of Tracy. The book of Joe and the book of Terry and the book of Jim and Linda and Carol and Naomi and all these and sends you out so people can open your life and say, I don't know why they dress this way. I don't know why they do this. But I'll tell you one thing. If I ever get in trouble, I send a prayer request up to that church up on the hill. Isn't it amazing the people you work with which don't believe what you believe, yet they will turn in the prayer request so we can pray for them? Why? Why is that? They know there's a living God. They may not want to conform to what we preach, but they know where there's a living God with a living presence.
Hallelujah. Let me quit talking so we can worship. Hallelujah. No fish hooks tonight. No pins for me to wave through your tongue. No abracadabras, no magic incantations, no black ashes for me to rub on your forehead. But you as a king priest are invited to come into the presence of Melchizedek. Amen. And lift those hands that used to hold beer cans, whiskey bottles, cigarettes, filthy magazines, whatever more. Now those hands can be raised in the presence of the king. Not as a dog under a table, but as a royal priesthood. Amen. Can we love him a little before we go? Harry, sing something so we can worship.
Worship you, Almighty.
Are you a worshiper now? Hallelujah.
There is none.
Give him your tongue so he can speak his words. Give him your mind so he can think your correct thoughts. Your feet. Everything you are, give it to him. Yes, Lord God. Oh, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God.
That is what I want.
This is what we long to do, Lord.
To do.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I give you praise.
Glory to God.
For you are my righteousness.
Hallelujah.
I worship you.
My God.
Oh,
my God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
There is none.
Hallelujah. Close your eyes now and just raise your hands. Forget about your troubles, your worries, where you're going after church. Let's be a worshiper. A worshiper.
Worship you.
Mighty God. We bless your name, Lord.
Oh, my
Heavenly Father. Only righteous one.
God.
Hallelujah. You've cleansed our hearts.
There is none.
You've made us acceptable in your sight, Lord God.
Like you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I worship
you, Lord. I adore you. I love you. Write your word on the tables of my heart, Lord.
Oh,
make me a written epistle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I'm so glad we've recognized the mighty God was here today. Didn't our hearts burn as he talked along the way? I'm so glad we've known. I'm so glad we've known. Aren't you glad we've known?
Hallelujah.
Soon he'll come, and his bride will be gone.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God.
And we recognize,
oh, Jesus,
the mighty God is here today. And our hearts burn
as he talks. God,
I'm so
thank
glad
you, Lord.
We know.
Hallelujah, Lord God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Aren't
hallelujah,
you glad
Lord
you've
God.
Known him?
Thank you, Lord God.
Soon he'll come.
Praise your name,
and
Lord.
We'll be gone.
Glory, hallelujah.
I'm glad we recognize the mighty God is still.
Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I am redeemed.
This is who I am. I'm redeemed.
You set me free.
Oh, Lord, I'm redeemed.
So I'll shake off heavy chains.
These old mental chains.
Wipe away every stain.
Yeah, Lord.
I'm not who I used to be. I am.
Glory. excitement. I'm being renewed in the spirit of my mind.
I am redeemed.
Yeah.
You said. Wipe away every stain.
Hallelujah.
I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord.
See,
thank you, Jesus.
Light. All I could see was the struggle.
That's what he'll get you to focus on. How you can't do it. You can't overcome.
Haunted by a ghost that lived in my
failure,
head.
No good. You're bad. Never make it. Them's ghosts. Oh,
bound up.
Yes, God.
In shackles of all my failure. But then you look at this,
oh,
prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting,
stop fighting
a fight that's already been won.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am redeemed. You said. Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Let's sing it, everybody. Let's sing the chorus together. Everybody. I'm not lost. I'm not a sinner. I'm redeemed. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm faithful.
You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Oh, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not only am I redeemed, I'm saved. I'm sanctified, I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm predestinated, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm delivered. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord. Oh, praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just give him a wave offering before we go, can we? Oh, praise the Lord. That's it. Just wave them hands before him. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We who were not a people are now the people of God. We who were aliens and outcasts, but now we are the elect of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Well, I saw the light, I saw the light, no more in darkness. Oh, now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Oh, praise the Lord, I saw the light. Everybody, I saw the light, I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more in now. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Oh, praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light, I saw the light. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you, saints. Service in the morning. Go in the fear of God. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray. Straight is the gate.
Fears I claim for my own. Oh, but then like a blind man, God gave back his sight. Oh, praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow.